Father, we're so thankful. Thankful to be here this morning. Father, I pray for every person in this room this morning, Lord, that You would truly be Lord of our life. Lord, that You'd open up minds, You'd open up hearts to receive what You have for us this morning. Lord, that I believe there's some changes that need to take place in our lives. And Father, I pray that You would reveal that to each and every one of us this morning, the changes that need to take place, Lord, that our eyes would be open, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would transform us. May Thy will be done now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, today is Veterans Day, and I had two or three different things on my heart and on my mind, but I got to thinking about Veterans Day, and I don't know if I've ever really even preached kind of a Veterans Day message, but Veterans Day, we honor our military, those who have served, fought, and died for our country. It's celebrated on November the 11th because this was the day major hostility in World War I ended at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. And so, little history there. But the Bible says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. You know, we're very blessed to live in the country that we live in and to have so many men and women that have volunteered to go and fight, that have volunteered to go and die for our country, for the freedom that we have today. And when you think about this verse, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for a friend, we should feel very grateful for all those who have laid down their lives for us, for all those who have laid down their lives for our freedoms. But I think sometimes we forget that today we're still at war. And today we're not only at war as a country, but also spiritually. And that's kind of more what I want to talk about this morning, is the spiritual warfare that so many are under and so many feel the attacks. And if you would, open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. And you know, I preached on these verses back, middle of the spring or so, but I think it was Mitzi was talking about having to hear something so many times before you remember it. What was it, seven days in a row or something like that? Seven times or something before you remember it? So you guys are going to get a little bit of what you've already heard, what you already know, but maybe we'll remember it, because I think often we forget. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Y'all, celebrating Veterans Day, thinking of all the men and women that have laid down their lives for us. And it's easy to get comfortable in our life. It's easy to get comfortable and forget that we're still very much at war today. And we're at war with an enemy that's prowling around and looking to destroy us, looking to kill us, looking to destroy our lives, looking to destroy our testimony. And you think about that, looking for someone to devour, that's totally destroy, is what the devil wants to do to you and to me. But resist him, standing firm in the faith. And I think sometimes where my weakness is I forget about the battle. And I get lax. And then all at once, I'm in the middle of something. Whereas if I would have had my eyes open and realized, I could have resisted before I even got to the point that it's like, uh-oh, I might be in trouble here. So I think we have to be aware of what's going on, aware of what the enemy is doing. Because, you know, sometimes the obvious attacks are easy to see. But he's prowling around. If you guys remember, I don't know, you probably don't, but maybe a few of you do, when I preached on this in the spring and I talked about how the lion would get in by watering holes in places that he knew his prey would have to come to, and he would hide in the bush and everything and wait to pounce on his prey. And that's what the enemy is still doing with us today. He's waiting. And sometimes the obvious sins are easy to resist. Sometimes those big things, it's like, okay, caution sign, I'm not going to go that direction. But he's prowling around and looking to who he can attack. And I think verse 7 here is very important too. It says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Talking about the Lord. And when I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how the enemy prowls around, and I was thinking, how many of us, the obvious sins are okay, but our anxiety, our fear gets us. Oftentimes for many of the saints, I think worrying is a tactic that the devil uses to mess with us, to destroy us, to devour us, because we live our life in worry, we live our life in fear, and we're always fretful about what's going to happen. It's like, okay, I'm not going to grab a gun and go rob a bank. Okay, I'm not gonna go and have an affair. I'm not gonna go and do these blatant, easy sins that's obvious, but our anxieties and our cares are so bound up, and we're so worried about things all the time that Satan is winning. He's winning because he's prowling around and he's putting things in front of us that cause us to worry, to cause us to fret, and then before long we're ineffective for the kingdom of God because we're all bound up in anxiety and concern. So cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. And I think that, is this making sense at all this morning? That being self-controlled and alert is thinking about those little ways that Satan's creeping into our life. It's not even the big and obvious things, but it's the little things with the anxiety, with the cares, with the worry. Do I have any worriers in here this morning besides me? Do I have anybody that has anxiety besides me? And how Satan creeps in and will put these thoughts, put these things into our life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things you have heard me saying in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Veterans Day, we're at war, we're soldiers of Christ Jesus. Verse 4, "No one serving as a soldier gets involved in the civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." Y'all, when I read this and I got to thinking so much about what causes most of our worry, what causes most of our anxiety, is it not the things of the world? Is it not the things that we as soldiers of Jesus Christ shouldn't even be concerning ourselves with? They're the things that we worry, the things that grab our attention, the things that we fret about. I would say 99% of the time have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. It's the things that we allow into our lives. It's the way that the enemy creeps in and grabs hold of us, and he gets our minds, because we're involved in the civilian affairs. Is this making sense to anyone this morning? We get involved in the civilian affairs too often when we should be about our Father's business. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in the civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. And so often the things that I worry, the things that I fret about, really have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. They really have nothing to do with my relationship with my Father. They have to do with worldly things, worldly standards, things here on earth. Why? Because I'm getting involved in the civilian things. Y'all, we are at war. We are in a battle right now. And I believe that Satan is winning the battle in so many lives because we don't even know that he's there. We miss it because our minds are so concerned with all these things that we're fretting, that we're worrying about, and all these concerns that are all worldly based. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, And then after that, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. If you just want to go to Ephesians 6, I'm only reading a few verses in 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." If you guys have gone to church here for any length of time, you know that I preach on this a lot, about our thoughts, about our minds, taking every thought captive. We don't need to wage war the way that the world does. The weapons that we fight against aren't like the world fights with, but we need to demolish the strongholds. We need to have the truth of God in our mind and quit worrying and quit concerning ourselves with all the things of the world, all the things that a civilian would concern himself with, and begin. I don't know if really worry is the word, but maybe even to concern ourselves with the things of God. I mean, let's really get down to where we're living. What did you worry about this week? Did anything that you worried about this week have to do with the kingdom of God? And like I said, maybe worry isn't the appropriate word there, but did you even concern yourself with the things of God this week? See, taking every thought captive, begin to realize that I need to quit meditating on all this junk around me. And what I really need to be concerning myself is my Heavenly Father's business. What would He have me do? Quit waging war with worldly things. Quit allowing the devil to sneak in and prowl around in our thoughts, in our mind, with worry and fret and all the desires even of the world. And understand that we need to begin to take our thoughts captive and begin to concern ourselves with the things of God. It's crazy to me, all the things that we fret, all the things that we worry about, holidays coming up, trying to see everybody, and Christmas gifts, trying to make sure we have Christmas gifts, and you know, just paying the bills, and new clothes or new shoes, or I really want this, or I really want that, and all the things that we get so worked up about, and get so, well, she didn't like this photo, or they didn't comment on this, or so-and-so didn't even come and shake my hand, or they didn't say hi to me at the ball game, or whatever, and all these things that we get so worked up about. And they really have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. The things that we should be concerned about: a coworker is living the wrong life and headed straight for hell. A family member that's really messed things up. You know, that there's people in need all around us. But those don't even cast a second thought in our head. Take every thought captive. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." You know, I think so often we fail because we don't even realize that we have an enemy that's scheming against us. Satan is constantly scheming. He's constantly setting us up. Y'all, I had, when I told y'all 4, 5, 6 weeks ago to pray for people and pray for something in your life, to pray for the impossible, I've still been praying for the people that God laid on my heart to pray, and I've told you how God's changing me and a lot of those relationships, but there was something very personal that I was praying about for myself too, and I'm trying to remain faithful and pray every day. And it was so apparent yesterday. I was sitting there and I was relaxed and I wasn't even thinking, and all at once I seen the devil scheming in something in my life. And I seen it. Y'all, Satan is constantly trying to work his way in to destroy us. Verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand firm." Are we standing firm in the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we failing? Are we standing firm? Do we recognize the attacks of the enemy? It says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Y'all, with the belt of truth around our waist, we should be speaking truth in every area of our lives. God hates lies. God hates a liar. Are you speaking truth? Are you living out truth in your life? I'm going to be going back and forth here, so I might lose my spot. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. When I was thinking about the breastplate of righteousness, I was thinking about guarding our hearts with righteousness. God has given us a new heart. So let's not let the world come in and corrupt what God is doing in our lives, to guard ourselves with that righteousness, with that breastplate of righteousness in place. And with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And when I was thinking about that, the feet of the gospel of peace, everywhere you go, are you bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you an ambassador for Jesus Christ? And you can look at that two ways. Everywhere you go, are you bringing peace? Or where you come, is there discord? Is there anxiety? Is there, you're the person that's going to blow your top. You're the person that's always full of anger. You're the person that's always ready to cut someone down. Have you guys ever been around somebody that's always trying to make someone the butt of their jokes, and you just hope that it's not you? Have you ever been around somebody that's like that? They're not bringing peace with them. Are you that person? Are you bringing the peace with you? Verse 15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. When I was thinking about the shield of faith, we need to always be ready by faith to block those arrows that Satan's throwing at us, that he's constantly bringing stuff our way. And that goes back to the fear, to the anxiety, to taking the thoughts captive, is Satan's hurling at you. He's hurling at you by friends, by family, by coworkers, even in the church sometimes. And he's throwing. Do we have enough faith to guard against the lies of the devil and to know what the truth of God's Word is? Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. When you think about what have we been talking about, to guard our minds, to know we have been delivered, to know that we've been born again, to know that we don't have to live the life that we used to live. The helmet of salvation, deliverance, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You think about 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone. 2 Timothy 3 says, all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Are we fitted with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to tell people? Do we know enough of the Bible to preach the gospel? Do we know enough of the Word of God that we have something to draw from? Y'all, it's all this working together. Verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Y'all, so many are ineffective, unproductive, failing daily because we're not putting on the armor of God. We're not seeking out God. We're not taking every thought captive. We're allowing the enemy to get into our lives in ways of worry, in ways of fret, and sneaking in to our lives. And it can be something as simple. I've even stumbled on commercials. Something on television something pops up on your phone. Something comes across. Where did that even come from? I always love Tim's story, and I don't know if I can tell it right because it's been a while since I heard it, but he didn't put a fence around a tree for Thelma. Was it an apple tree? And I think Thelma had been after him to do it. Am I telling the story right? Wanted him to do it, and they came home from church, and the cows are up against that tree eating the apples. And he's like, it was so obvious. Because then it's like Satan's just trying to cause friction. He's just trying to cause, well, even in an apple tree. Satan is doing whatever he can to destroy you. You know, it breaks my heart to see people dabbling in the world and living in the world, and they think they're getting acceptance. They think they're cool. They think they have friends. And all the while, they're just bringing them down, bringing them down, bringing them down. They're allowing Satan to work in their lives to destroy them. Y'all, we have to be alert. We have to know that there is a war taking place. James 4:7 says, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, sometimes resisting the devil is hard. But it's a lot harder when you don't even realize that it's the devil in there. Does that make sense? If you see an enemy coming at you, you know, then you know that you need to prepare for battle. But what Satan likes to do is he don't want you to see him coming. So to resist the devil and he will flee from you, then we have to be prepared at all times for battle and prepare ourselves in the little things. The little things that we think is really not a big deal. This really isn't, it's not really a sin, but it's not really good. It's not really beneficial, but it's not really hurting anything. If the Holy Spirit is strong in you, and he will give you warning. We need to heed those warnings immediately. If we don't, we're going to fail. We're going to fall. There's people in this room, I believe, that are failing and falling right now. You may not be doing it outside, but in your heart, in your mind, you've fallen away. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. And that's the whole thing there is coming near to God to get your strength to feed your spirit. We can't. Do you guys only eat on Sundays? Food? You know, by Monday, breakfast, your belly would probably start growling a little bit. By lunch, you'd probably really be growling. By Monday night, you'd be like getting hangry, you know, hungry, angry. And I would be, you know, because why? And by the end of the week, if you hadn't ate all week, if you hadn't drank all week, what would happen? You'd probably be getting sick. You'd be getting weak. And you might begin to stumble and fall because you'd have no strength. Y'all, there's so many people that probably really are Christians. They really are believers. But they're not prepared for battle because they're not feeding on the Word of God. They're not feeding the Spirit. And so they stumble and they fall and they fail. And then they cry out, God, why do I keep falling? Why do I keep failing? And their heart, they really want to be righteous. They really want to live for God. But then they keep stumbling and they keep failing. Why? Because they're not preparing themselves for battle. Because the battle is real. It is so real. It's real this morning just sitting here and taking those thoughts captive that right now you're not in the deer woods. That right now you're not thinking about lunch. That right now you're actually thinking to what I'm preaching, to the Word of God. You know, what was that? 3 weeks ago I did that little 10-minute sermon to see if it worked any better. You guys listening? I don't think it did. You probably already forgot. It was the quickest sermon I ever preached. We was out at 11:40. Trying to get it in there, though, so that our thoughts don't drift, our thoughts don't fade. Come near to God and He will come near to you. We're going to finish up 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, "Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness." Do you ever look back at your life and think about how some of the dumb things that you did? I do. You know, I don't know how many of y'all seen, I don't know why I'm telling this story, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it. Talking about youth and stupid things you do. Did you guys see the story this week of that man that ate the slug? Did anybody see that story? I think he was Australian, wasn't he? And he ate a slug 8 years ago. He's 19 years old, and his buddies dared him to. And he was a strong, I think he was a rugby player or something, strong young man. So he ate the slug. And like 2 days later after this dare, he started having severe leg cramps and got really sick. Ended up having seizures and being in a coma for over 400 days. And came out of it and was a paraplegic. And he died this week, 8 years later, after all from eating a slug. I guess all the stuff that they carry. And I was actually reading more on that if you eat a slug, that it can not even affect you till years down the road because they have so many parasites and things that can remain dormant in your body. So nobody eat any slugs, okay? Don't eat any slugs. But when I was thinking about that, and we were talking about it at work, and I was thinking about some of the things that I ate as a teenage boy, being out in the cow fields with my buddies and playing truth or dare and stuff like that. Now looking back, how stupid. How stupid is that, you know? I ate cow manure, you know? And how dumb. Now I look back at that and I think, that's the dumbest thing ever. Why would anybody do that, you know? But I'm grown up. But how many of us still hadn't grown up? We're still doing the same things that we did as a teenager. We're still doing the same things as a young man. It cracks me up sometimes. I'll see these guys in their 50s, in their 60s, and they still act like they're 18, 19, 20-year-old rockers, and they still, you know, and it's like, grow up! Grow up! Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness. You know, if I told you guys, you're such a baby, you're so childish, you would be so highly offended at that. But let's really examine ourselves. Are we doing the same things we did as a kid before we knew any better? Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, that should be you this morning, is that when those evil desires come, you should look at yourself, take those thoughts captive, and say, I'm a grown-up now. I don't have to submit to that anymore. That's putting on the armor of God and the helmet of salvation and the truth of deliverance in our mind, and those arrows putting up that shield of faith that Satan's hurling at you. Remember the good old days and how this used to be fun and that used to be fun. Grow up. Flee those desires. Verse 23, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone and able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. When I read that and I thought about war, Veterans Day, and the battle that we're in, and I thought of how many people have been taken captive by Satan's trap, and many of them don't even know it. Many of them don't even realize that they're under Satan's control, and they profess this freedom, and they think we're enslaved because we live for Jesus Christ, but they're enslaved. They're enslaved to sin. And many of them don't even realize that Satan has a tanglehold in their life. Let's stand. Father, I pray, Lord, that each one of us realize that we are at war. We're at war for ourselves. We're at war for our families. We're at war for our churches. Lord, that we would realize that the devil is constantly scheming, constantly trying to destroy us. That we would understand this, and Lord, that we would truly seek Your righteousness. That we would flee these evil desires from our youth, Lord, and that we would pursue You, that we would resist the devil, that we would stand firm. Lord, that we would understand the armor of God, that all that You have equipped us with so that we can stand firm, so that we can resist, so that we don't have to fail, we don't have to stumble, we don't have to go back into the old life of who we once were. Father, I pray this morning that You would be revealing to every heart in here, Lord, that if Satan has seeped into their hearts, if Satan has seeped into their minds, maybe with the worry, maybe with the anxiety, with the cares of this world, Lord, maybe it's with unforgiveness, I don't know. Maybe it's something even more, Father, that Satan has creeped in and held people captive this morning. Father, I pray that You would reveal it, that we would recognize it, that we would ask for forgiveness, that we would repent of it, and that we would turn our lives back over to You. Lord, that we would be concerned about serving You and only You. Like a good soldier serving in the army, that we would be about our Master's business, that we would be about Your business this morning. Lord, I believe that there's some this morning that need to be set free. Lord, I pray for that freedom right now as they confess their sins and they turn their lives back over to You. And Father, for Your Christian soldiers this morning, for this congregation, may we always be alert. May we always be aware. May we begin to take every thought captive. And understand how real the enemy is that wants to destroy us. Father, have Your way now. May we be listening to what Your Holy Spirit has to say to each and every one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything, the altars are open. I was just thinking as I was praying, and it came to mind, and I know I don't remember this story exact, but I read it in a devotional, I think, years ago, and I've seen it several times, but there was two vessels out in the ocean, and one was a battleship, and he sees this light approaching him, and he radios, this is, USS whatever battleship, change your course. And the light that he's seen approaching him radioed back, this is so-and-so, you change your course. And the battleship captain was mad. Full steam ahead, radioed back, so many souls on board, we are coming, you change your course. And the light that he's heading toward radio back, private such and such, lighthouse. The lighthouse couldn't change its course. I feel like there's some that are just like that battleship, and we're blazing ahead in life, and we're saying, this is, we're full of our pride, and I'm not going to change my course, and we're just barreling ahead. And if we keep barreling ahead and we don't stop to hear and listen and see what we're heading for a big crash. Y'all, we have to listen. We have to react. Know the voice of the Holy Spirit. Put on the armor of God and understand we are at war. For every one of you. Your life, your family's life, your children's life, it depends on you listening. Divorce is so high in our country. Why? Satan. People's on drugs at enormous rates, and you know they're trying to pass these laws, and it's not all even illegal drugs. It's prescription drugs. Why? Satan. Depression at all-time high. Nobody's happy. Why? Satan. Any avenue he can get in to destroy you, he will. Be alert. Be prepared. Ready for battle like a good soldier. And most of all, listening to our commanding officer. And be willing to change course if he says to change course. Bible say tonight, 6:30. I'm going to hurry back there before you guys run out the door. Please let me know if you are interested in going and looking at Christmas lights. No pressure. If you don't want to, it's okay. But if you would like to, I just need to kind of get a head count so I know how we can all fit. It'll either be the first Saturday or second Saturday of December. And more than likely, it's going to be going to Tulsa. But that's not even set in stone, but that's probably what we'll do. So if anybody would like to go, let me know. If you say you want to go, and then when it comes time and you can't, that's fine too. But I just need to know the maximum number that may be going so we can kind of prepare for it, okay? Y'all don't run out the door. Have a good evening.
Now I can trade these ashes.